Welcome to Water Talks coverage from ACE 17, broadcasting live from Philadelphia. ACE, uniting the world of water. Water Talk is made possible by WaterOnline.com, showcasing today's water industry leaders and innovators. And now, here is your host, Todd Schnick.
All right, good afternoon and welcome back to Water Talk. I'm your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Kevin Westerling. Boy, we're nearing the end of day three. What a great event it's been, A17.
It has. We're getting close, but I'm really looking forward to this next interview.
I as well. Let's get right to it. We're joined now by Reese Tisdale. He's the president of Bluefield Research. Reese, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's great to be here.
It's good. Going great, and it's great to have you. I appreciate you making time. I know you're awfully busy here today, so grateful for you swinging by and giving us a few minutes. Reese, before we get into our conversation, take a quick minute to tell us a bit about you, your background, and the work that Bluefield Research is out there doing.
Yeah, so I'm the president of Bluefield Research. We're Boston-based. We're a market research firm basically tracking the water industry, competitive strategies, how companies are participating in the market, as well as identifying opportunities, and we do that in a number of different ways. Reports, insight services, some consulting. Been a good market, been at it for about 4 years now almost, and the show, I think, bears that out. It's been a good week.
Outstanding. Well, smart water. So let's get into that a little bit. Well, it's a big topic. It's right. One of those things that if you line up 10 people and ask them to define it, you might get 10 different opinions, personalities, perspectives. How does Bluefield look at that?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think actually that's part of the problem,
right,
is what
right.
is it? It's so big. It covers all these different facets of the industry. But I think, look, at the end of the day, it's taking advantage of existing technologies to capture, analyze data and get better intelligence on the water networks and operate water operations. That can be hardware to software. We include everything from meters all the way down to customer management and billing. And in between, you get things such as pipeline assessment and integrity assessment and understanding that. So we try to keep it broad ourselves because part of the problem or the challenge for a lot of these companies in the space is that the sector is very siloed. Even within the utilities themselves, they have their two or three different silos. And so they don't always talk to one another, right. So the companies have to get in there. Yeah.
And so how much are these utilities really using these smart water solutions?
I think we like to call the market leaders, if you will, sort of conscientious adopters. They basically, look, at the end of the day, we're looking at highly fragmented multitude of systems and utilities in the U.S. specifically. And you have the big ones. They typically have the most money, and there are a number of those that have the most money, the most resources. They still have problems or challenges that they need to address, and so they move a little further out on the curve as far as their adoption, and that curve drops pretty quickly by the size of the utility. Quite honestly, as you get further out on that curve, the smaller utilities, they have more needs in mm-hmm. many cases. They just don't have the financial resources. They don't have access to bond markets. They don't have access to other financial tools like public-private partnerships that you may find in the larger ones, and the rate bases more specifically.
Well, Kevin and I are not aware of any overfunded utilities, so I mean it's a continuing problem even for the larger
exactly.
utilities. So what is the size of the market today, and where do you think it's going? How will it look in a decade?
Well, we just put out a report looking at smart water in the U.S., and all in, we're looking at about $20 billion over the next couple of years, over the next 10, which is not a huge market. On average, you're looking at, $2 billion a year, which most of that is meters, about 80% of that is meters, because that's really oftentimes the pivot point of where data and information can be collected and leveraged. But that's increasing. We're seeing, as I mentioned earlier, pipeline assessment is growing. There are a number of new players in that space that are offering solutions to really target the pipe infrastructure challenges that we are seeing. So we see it growing. That's now. So if you talk to me in 5 years, I'd like to think that number is going to be, the next 10 years is going to be much bigger, just because I think of greater adoption.
Yep.
So are there specific segments of the water industry that you're seeing some interesting changes?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of growth in water quality assessment, understanding that, because it's oftentimes overlooked, you know, when you start looking, you know, I think that's wastewater monitoring as well, trying to figure out what's happening there. Stormwater is something. There's some really interesting. Stormwater, with all the consent decrees in the U.S., there are a number of them. I think the last check I had, about 50 to 80 federal. Can't remember exactly the number, so forgive me. But you're looking at $50 billion over the next 20 years that is going to go towards that. So we're seeing some interesting companies trying to figure out ways to smartly, forgive the pun, to address the stormwater flows. And figure that out.
So how's the competitive landscape changing? I mean, the great thing about ACE is that they're the organizations that have been there probably from the beginning, and then every year you interact with some new players doing some interesting things and trying to get their foot in the door there to have an impact here. But how is it changing? New players, any mergers and acquisitions that look interesting? What's your thoughts?
That's where I feel like the craziness is happening, because you're getting everything from the small venture-backed Silicon Valley startups to the large players. I mean, everybody from, as you might know, companies like Honeywell, or, you know, even, you know, Xylem recently acquired Sensus. You know, those are big deals. Those are the gold-plated deals that everybody has their eye on. But I think the way that, look, you know, it's still early stages. This is all new. Other infrastructure sectors are adopting smart solutions in their processes and operations. That's going to happen in water. It's going to continue to grow, partly because a lot of these companies, even pump manufacturers, are installing smart technology into the pumps. Whether the utility uses it or not, initially, is a different story, but it's going to be integrated into a lot of those systems, and then over time, there will be increasing adoption, and to some extent, risk. That's where things like cybersecurity start coming into play, which is not a big play at this point. But yeah, there's... You know, we're seeing a lot of private equity. I think this past year, we did some analysis on M&A in the water sector overall, and there were a large number of private equity companies going into the smart water space, which makes sense. You know, they're looking high margins, high growth. It's high tech, which you don't see in other cities. It's not, with all due respect to the pipe suppliers and their technology, it doesn't have that same cachet and growth that you're seeing in technology. And there are applications that can be brought in from, like I said, Silicon Valley data companies.
Right. So, I'm interested in your perspective on this. We've had a lot of conversations, a lot of concern in this market about all the aged baby boomers that are retiring and all those years of experience and knowledge draining out of the industry. What is your thought on that? Is that something to be really worried about, or are you confident that with our advancing and evolving technology that the younger generation operators are going to be just fine? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a concern, partly because that's where all the knowledge is. I mean, there's so much knowledge in these, and you could talk to these, even major water utilities in the U.S., you could talk to the chief engineer and they'll say, well, I've been at the utility for 45 years, and then my father had the same job, and he did that for 40 years, and it just goes from one generation to the next. And but, you know, I think what's happening is people are moving more. They're not maybe they're, you know, younger people. Water is not always sexy, you know, they're not always drawn to that. But there's also an expectation to take that same thought. You know, I think as customers and users of water, and look, I imagine we all have phones in our pockets right now. We expect certain things. I have family at home right now. They've got thermostats in the house. They don't know how to work the HVAC system. They just call me up, and I just do it from here. I understand what's happening. It's giving me data. It's giving me information. That's going to take time to evolve, but it is a problem because, you know, I think the utilities are, in many cases, become a little bit exposed from a knowledge loss.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. Finally, we're nearing the end of the exposition here at A17. I suspect you have been pointing a keen eye to what's happening around here and seeing what some of the discussions are. Any observations? What did you learn? What do you think? What are you excited about? Anything you're concerned about?
Generally, I think the feeling that I've got taken away from this, it's been really positive, that the traffic is good, conversations. There seems to be a lot of, well, on the engineering EPC side of things, people seem to be really optimistic about what's happening in infrastructure in the U.S. I don't always get the same feeling on the supply side, particularly the hard infrastructure like pipes. It seems to be a bit of a lag. Now, some of these companies are also supplying steel, ductile iron, and such. Is it the same for the HDPE and PVC companies? That's, I think, of real interest to me. And, you know, look, we started this out talking about smart water. There are a lot of data and analytics companies of all the throwing all kinds of algorithms out there and solutions using that. So that's going to grow. I'm really excited about that. And, you know, look, I'm in the water business. So I, Bluefield Research, we want it to grow. That's what we're looking for as well. It's been good.
All right. Good stuff. Reese, we're about out of time. Before I let you go, should anyone have any questions for you, how do they contact you, and where do they learn more about Bluefield?
You can go to waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com, and it's www.bluefieldresearch.com is where you need to go. You can get hopefully all the information you need there. If not, just give us a ring.
Okay, good stuff. Reese Tisdale, the president of Bluefield Research. Great to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining us.
Thanks, guys. It was great. Appreciate it.
It's all the time we have for now. On behalf of all of us at Water Online and Water Talk, thank you for tuning in and listening. Signing off from Philadelphia for the moment, but don't worry, Water Talk, we'll be right back.
This broadcast of Water Talk has been made possible by Water Online, showcasing today's water industry leaders and innovators. To learn more, visit wateronline.com. And we thank you again for listening.